Good morning. Around the year 1910, The Times, a London newspaper, solicited input, response from literary figures, educators, philosophers. And the question that was posed was, what is wrong with this world? What a question. What is wrong with this world? The great Catholic apologist, author, G.K. Chesterton, wrote back and said, "Dear sir, I am yours, G.K. Chesterton. I am." Short answer. A few weeks ago, I was really struggling with some anger, a big issue in my life, and I was struggling with it. It started to affect everything else as well. And so I said, it's time to get this worked out. I've got to get this worked out. So I went to the Adoration Chapel, and I gazed upon the Lord in the monstrance, and as I prayed, I agonized, I argued, I was frustrated. I said, but Lord, I'm right. I'm right. And you got angry. You kicked over the money changers' tables. The anger, there's righteous, it's not really anger, it's righteous indignation. Oh, how we like to euphemize our own positions. And the more I went through this routine over and over again, the word, the pronoun I was very prominent. And it haunted me to the point where I recalled this instance in which G.K. Chesterton replied, I am. And I said before the Lord, yes, Lord, I am the problem with the world. Years ago, I worked with an engineering manager who was a walking anthology of stories. He had a story for every occasion, it seemed like. And we would always sit down and we have our 9:30 breaks and we have a cup of coffee, an orange, and we spin the yarns. And he told of the time when he was a little toddler. And he would, in his little t-shirt and diaper, would run around the house and play. And after some time, he went to his mother and he said, everywhere I go, something stinks. Yeah, everywhere I go, something stinks. Now, isn't that a little bit like us? It isn't us, though, really. I mean, the real problems in this world are not, couldn't be us at all. It's out there. It's somebody else, you know. But, you know, the more I think about it, we've all got a load. We've all got a load that we're carrying around. And that's what Lent's all about. Lent is that beautiful time of the year. The church calls us every year. And in the mystery, the catechism says, in the mystery of participation with Jesus, we're called to go into the desert. And it's more. It's every year, it's deeper, it's more. The church calls us, Jesus calls us to go with him into the desert. 40 days, 40 nights. Oh, I don't know, Lord, without a Hinckley's chocolate crescent donut. But you didn't live here, Lord. You don't know what those are like. Really? But you know something? It's more than chocolate. It's more than beer. It's the calling to do battle with the devil. The devil is the end purpose for the fasting, for the almsgiving, for the prayer. Everything that we're called to do in this Lenten season every year is to deal with the concupiscence, to deal with the irascibility, to deal with the passions that rage within us and keep us from becoming fully alive and free in Jesus Christ. The battle in Lent and our Lenten journey is to encounter the devil and deal with the flesh, the world, the flesh, the devil. And Jesus did that for us. There on the cross is the power to defeat sin. He went before us. The antiphon for the invitatory psalm in the Lenten season, all the way through Lent, is, and it begins this way, "Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering." That's why we're here today at this Mass. We have come to worship the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering. And we have no idea of the kind of suffering that he went through. The devil was after him from the get-go. He tried to kill him outright in the slaughtering of the innocents, but he missed. And before his public ministry, launched out of his baptism, preparing for public ministry, the devil comes to him again in the wilderness and offers him all of the easy paths to dominance over the worldly kingdoms and comfort to ease that hunger of those 40 days. It's an interesting study, but if you go back just on your own, look at Genesis, the first reading today, match it up with the gospel, and you will see an amazing parallel. Where Adam failed, Jesus triumphs. And Luke's gospel, at the end of this account of the temptation, adds this note. He says, "And the devil left him after the temptations were completed." He says, "Until an opportune time." When was that opportune time? I suspect it was the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus, in sorrow, in great distress, in agony, bled through his pores, sweat blood. "Father, if at all possible, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, your will be done." It's an interesting thing. Luke is the only one that adds that great drops of blood fell from his face. It's a very rare, and it's a known medical condition called hematidrosis. Hematidrosis is when the human being has a flow of blood that mixes with the sweat. It's a collapsing, if you will, of the capillaries, and they believe, doctors, it's so rare, they haven't studied it a lot, but they believe that it is caused by the fight-flight response in us. If that's true, it was the fight in Jesus. It was a fight. He said, "I'm going to defeat you, and you will be defeated, and death will be defeated once and for all. And I will embrace the Father's will. I will drink the cup. I will go to the cross, and I will pour out my blood for all." And he did it. He poured it in the garden through his pores, and he poured it through his hands and his feet and his back and his side, where he was pierced. For us, he suffered and died. And he calls us in our Lenten journey to do much, much more than kick chocolate by the wayside and to lay off the beer for a while. All those things are important. Little sacrifices, any little sacrifice for the Lord is important. He's calling us to deep union with him. He's calling us to communion, where he will take our fallow ground that's untilled and it's overgrown with weeds and rocks, and he will cultivate that fallow ground, and he'll prepare it for the seed of the Word of God to plant in us and to make us fruitful and to make us grow in faith. That's what our Lenten journey is all about. It's embracing our precious, precious Lord and going the distance with him. Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake suffered temptation and suffering for us.